If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret. Searching for the sound. This is The Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Now, here's Ira.
The Sound Podcast is part of the OSIRIS Network. OSIRIS connects you with podcasts, videos, and live experiences about the artists and topics you love. Visit OSIRISPod.com to check out our shows. In fact, you should check out No Simple Road or Inside Out with Turner and Seth. Both are great shows. OSIRIS works in partnership with Jambase, which connects music fans with the music they love and empowers them to go see live music. For more, check them out at jambase.com. The show starts now.
Riding a bus on my way back home. Look out the window, no one. It's a dark, dark night, just trying to get back home, all alone. My eyes are heavy, I'm falling asleep. I run to touch you, the dragon's at my feet. The driver wakes me, says, son, I think you're fine. At the end of the
listening to Bus Ride Blues from Greg Locano's solo record, Songs from a Golden Dream, released back in 2016. Greg, of course, is better known for his role in San Francisco's Mother Hips, but he's dabbled in solo work as well as playing in other bands. In fact, he has a new album in the works and recently released its first single, San Felipe, a song which he sings with Jamie Drake. It's very removed from anything he'd do with the Mother Hips, and having an additional outlet for creativity is probably what every artist needs. We've posted the video for San Felipe on our Facebook page, so do check it out. Aside from working on solo material, Greg is also a member of the Greenleaf Rustlers, who begin a short tour tonight, and yes, he's already gearing up for plans with Tim Bloom on another Mother Hips record. Luckily, we were able to catch up with Greg before he hit the road, and our conversation started when I asked about his new record, due out soon, on Blue Rose Music.
Yeah, so I'm almost done recording about 10, I think it's 10 tracks. I started it last year in Ojai, California. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the recordings are on Blue Rose Music. And yeah, so ideally a whole record will be coming out by the end of the year. What they want to do right now is release a couple singles. So there's San Felipe is the first one, and that was a duet that, as you said, Jamie Drake sang with me. She came up, she was in LA, and she came up to Ojai in November, and we tracked that song and sang it together, and the label was excited about that one. So that was the first one we put out.
Are the other members of the band that you have set up that you played with at Sweetwater last week, I guess, probably seems like an eternity ago for you, but are Reed Mathis, Scott Hirsch, and Sean Nelson also involved in the project, or is it mostly a solo record of just you playing? How's that all working?
Okay, so the band that I put together for the Sweetwater show was not the band on that has been recording with me.
Oh,
in fact,
okay.
there's a couple of different people, yes. But Scott Hirsch, who played with me, has been recording and is producing the album as well. So he and I got together, I think the first time in last year in March, and did a batch of songs together at his studio down in Ojai. And then we got back together in the fall and did the next batch also in Ojai at a studio called Brethren Studios. And so he's played some things. He played some bass on it and some guitar. But I had him and Jamie open the show at the Sweetwater, and Scott has a great new album out also. So, Lost Time Behind the Moon, I believe is the title. Mm-hmm. Scott Hirsch, he's got two solo albums out, but his last one, they're both great, but I really love his last one. And he's also recorded, I think, all of the His Golden Messenger records, and he's been in and out of that band. And so that's why I went down to Ojai to record with him. He's been a friend for a long time. So he's on the album. Not only is he recording it, but he performs on the album. When I invited him to play a solo set at the Sweetwater before my set, I thought it would be, since he knew all the songs anyway, I'd have him be the other guitar player in the band. So that was great. And Reed, I've known for a long time.
Of course.
Reed's played, and, you know, he's freaking amazing, one of the most amazing cats out there. And he played in my sort of side band, one of my first solo projects I put together, a band called Sensations. And in one of the second or third iterations of that band, he was playing bass, and Dave Brogan was playing drums. Dave Brogan being of ALO,
right?
And so, not to make it more confusing, but the guys who played bass and drums on San Felipe and on probably three quarters of the tracks down there in Ojai were on tour. I initially wanted to get them because they knew the material the best, and they're fantastic players, but they're both on tour with a lady, and not remembering her name right now, but they're out of the country. Mm-hmm. So they couldn't make it. And so I called Reed immediately, because we love playing music together. And I've been playing some music with Sean Nelson on and off over the last couple of years, and always enjoyed it, and asked him. So I threw together that band, and then we'll be playing at the Hypnic. I do a tavern set every night after the first hip set.
Oh, wow.
You know, traditional late night tavern set. And those guys are going to be the band there. So Reed and Sean Nelson, maybe Scott, if he can come up. But I usually get all kinds of people coming up and sitting in, and Tim comes up and plays harmonica and other people come and play guitar or whatever.
It's amazing, and it's something, it's a recurring theme that I have when I talk to people from the Bay Area about how incestuous kind of the relationships are between all of these artists and performers and musicians and singer-songwriters that, you know, you're in another band and Reed is in several other bands, and well, you're in several other bands too, but it sort of seems like everybody's in working on several different projects, and whenever somebody has something to say or songs to play, finding a band or finding people to show up and play with you is rarely a problem, right?
In a way, yeah, I think you're right about that, and especially in this area, it seems like there's always someone you can get, and people are playing in and out and touring and jumping on tours and helping people out or in their main bands. And I was a little worried for a sec when I heard that Daniel and Sid couldn't do it. Those are the guys who played the bass and drums on San Felipe and the other tracks. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh wait, you know, I've got a handful of guys I could call or gals that I could call and have come and play and do a great job. So, and the cool thing about that for me is that, and I know, you know, as you know, the Mother Hips have been together freaking forever.
Right.
And for the longest time that we were very insular, and we just did our own thing. We wrote our own songs. We rarely play any covers. We didn't really hang out with other bands that much. We'd find a band that we really liked, and then we'd take them on tour and have them open. And that happened a number of times.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, we weren't like jamming with other bands or, you know, we were, like I said, we were really insular. And it wasn't until about 10 years ago or something when, you know, we, I don't know what it was, maybe after our hiatus, and then we came back and we started during that time. I know Tim started playing with other people and I started playing with other people, and we started getting a sense of, you know, we really should, there's so much community out there. And then when Terrapin Crossroads came around in Marin, which is where I live, which is, you know, 15 minutes from my house.
Mm-hmm.
Then that became a whole other level of meeting new musicians and playing with people that I hadn't played with and learning music that I might not would have the opportunity to learn, and playing music on the spot with a bunch of different people. And then when Tim got injured, that bump ramped up even more. I was so fortunate to have the opportunity to be able to plug myself in to Terrapin, especially 2 or 3 years ago. It seemed like there was just so much music happening there with happy hours and every night, and then great room shows. And so my point here is that I really learned not only how to play with other people and suit myself to how they're going to play the music, but more importantly, just submerge myself in a community that much deeper way, so that now there's so many friends that play that I could call on to come and record, or that if they would call on me if they need, you know, someone to sit in here or there, or
right,
writing music together. So it's really, really been a neat experience, sort of the evolution of kind of coming out of the Mother Hips sort of cocoon or shell of we do what we do, and then really expanding into some new territory over the last, you know, like I said, probably close to a decade.
Ultimately, it probably makes both of your experiences when you sit down to perform the songs that either Tim writes or that you write for the Mother Hips specifically, it probably makes that experience that much more wholesome, because you have so much more experience with other musicians and other styles and other ways of phrasing and playing and all of that. So it probably enhances the Mother Hips experience if nothing else. I mean, it doesn't detract from it in any way, I don't think.
Not at all. No, it enhances it for sure. You know, another kind of interesting thing that would happen is once in a while, you know, Tim and I would look on the schedule at Terrapin, and some of the guys, the regular folks that are playing down there, mm-hmm. they were doing a couple times they've done Mother Hips nights.
Right.
And we're like, oh, you know, we're looking at the set list and we hear versions of people covering our songs and they're a little different. And we've actually even Tim and I have gone down and played with other people on those nights and done Mother Hip songs, but and just said, you guys do it the way you do it and we'll just follow along. You know, you don't try to get it perfect to what you think we want to hear. We want to hear your versions. We even grabbed little bits and pieces of hanging on a section a little longer or repeating something from those jams, you know, so. It absolutely enhances the experience of bringing it back to the Mother Hips.
That's great to hear. And of course, Chorus came out last year after a lengthy wait. Understandably, Tim was injured, and mm-hmm. thank God he made it through that. Is there? I think I've discussed, but remind me: is there a plan to work on another Mother Hips record in the near term?
Yeah. We are shooting for sort of a late summer to get back into the studio. And Tim and I have a couple of times carved out where we're going to get together and write and organize. In fact, we've already started sending each other voice memos of chunks of songs. I don't know how many solo records he has like in the can right now. You know, his new one's coming out, but he's got a couple others and I'm finishing up this. And so there's a plethora, fortunately, of material. You know, we have to start aiming towards Hips land.
Is it a case where you're always thinking about, because you have you have solo material, you have Mother Hips material, you have other bands that you play with. You just get up on stage and play by yourself when the opportunity arises. Are you always writing or thinking about stuff, or do you like to perfect, you know, a certain canon of music before you go out and play any of it or do anything with it?
I think it kind of depends on the song. Some songs are just, you just know they're done. You know that's the way they are, and they come really fast, and you're excited to play them. Right. And so sometimes we take those out right away. An example of the new material that I have for this record that we've been talking about that I did in Ojai, I hadn't played maybe one of the songs out over the last year. And so, you know, with my solo band and various settings. But the other night at Sweetwater, I did almost the whole album. And I felt like they were all ready. You know, I spent so much time recording them and arranging and listening that I was really excited to do something different. And I created a set where, because the music, although I'm not going to say it sounds similar to San Felipe, but it's not all sort of Latin-based music.
Right.
It's a little more chilled out, I guess it would be the terminology. You mm-hmm. know, there's a lot of acoustic guitar and it's a little more tucked in. I don't know if you listened to my solo album that came before, Songs from
of
the
course.
Golden Dream. And there's a lot, there's a lot of dynamic there, and there's some big rock moments, and there's some more trippy stuff. This is a little more vibey, acoustic stuff. And so I created a set where I did all that stuff first, and it was a seated show. And Sean even played brushes on some of the songs, and I was sitting down. And then the second half, I got up and stood up and got the electric guitar and did more of the rock stuff from Sensations and some of the more rock stuff from this album. But I really enjoyed bringing those new songs into that kind of setting, in a real listening setting. I'd envision any touring that I'd do for this record would be in rooms where maybe they're more inclined for an acoustic show. you know, I wouldn't want to bring this set to, you know, the party bar in Newport Beach and
right,
people
right.
are, you know, getting drunk and asking for phone numbers. It wouldn't really fly. It's got to be the, although, you know, you never know.
Yeah. Well, San Felipe is kind of one of those songs where maybe you do want to hear the song and ask a lady out or close your eyes.
That's true.
Yeah.
Oh, and I should mention Ryan Scott from the Monophonics. If you've ever checked out their band, they're awesome. He played trumpet on the record, and he lives in Marin County as well. And he came and sat in on that song live, and he brought the house down for sure.
Do you have really to neat. Send people? How do you? I'm curious about how you put a band together when. Some of this material, I mean, some of it's out, obviously, and, you know, Bus Ride Blues, and there are definitely songs from this set that people have heard, but do you have to send people music ahead of time? Like, how does Reed or Scott, well, Scott played with you a little bit on the record, but how do they know what and how to play if some of these songs have never seen the light of day?
Well, I send them the recordings.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, so I just send them, you know, send out a file of your right. rough mixes, and then we got together and rehearsed, you
yes.
know, and we discussed them, and I explained
right.
Kind of how I envisioned them coming across live. So yeah, there's
some work.
There's always something to send over to inform the guys.
Let's get back to San Felipe for a sec, because the video is speaking about vibey, extremely vibey. And I think that's a combination of Darren Nay's aesthetic, but also Carolina's beautiful drawings that kind of come to life in the video. How did that all come together? And did you know that that's kind of what you wanted to do when somebody said, hey, are you going to have a video for this?
I'll approach all of those subjects if I can. Or
please.
So the aesthetic that I imagined with the song once, you know, I'd been listening to we've been getting the final mixes together, I was definitely thinking of looking at old Stan Getz and Astrid Gilberto records and seeing all those really cool colors and sort of early 60s vibes and on those jazz records. And the label wanted me to do a lyric video. And so I was looking around at what those were mm-hmm. And what was available out there. And there wasn't everything I was seeing is kind of didn't really have anything inspiring. And then Carolina, my wife Carolina, had said, well, remember when the Mother Hips put out the song called the Desert Song? It was on our album Chronicle Man. I think it came out in 2014, maybe. Actually, an album of archive music and sort of outtakes. And Desert Song is a track from that. And Darren, I happened to be talking to Darren about back then. We were probably on tour together when, you know, with the Gramblers and the Hips or something. And he's like, oh, I could probably put together a lyric video for you for Desert Song. And Tim had said something about, oh, let's find old pictures of, you know, dams being built. And, you know, and he did a great job. And I forgot about that. Like Carolina was like, remember Darren's video? Let's go look at that. We looked at it. We're like, that's pretty cool. So she's like, why don't you reach out to him, see if he's into doing a video for you.
Right.
And so I sent him the song. I said, you know, I'm thinking, you know, the sort of vibey 60s stuff. And I sent him some of the images. And he wrote back. He's like, I love the song. He's like, it's interesting because he said, I've just been on a Saul Bass kick. Which is he did a bunch of title sequences and poster art for Man with a Golden Arm and some of the James Bond stuff and Vertigo and all those. Are you familiar with those?
Yeah, some of them. Yeah, for sure. Vertigo,
yeah.
For sure.
And so I was like, and he sent me a clip. I'm like, yes, I mean, that is exactly what I'd love to see. And then I don't know, about 2 hours later, I can't remember if Carolina sent me some of her drawings or Karen knew she, he's like, do you guys have any images you want to send me? And so Carolina had some images and I sent those over. He's like, these are great. And within 2 hours, he put together like his little 8-second clip. And I was just like, do that, whatever you're doing there, go on that. And he's like, I love Carolina's drawings. Now, Carolina, she's sensitive about it because it's not every single drawing you see in there are hers. Her drawings are interspersed in there. Darren grabbed, I don't know how he did it. He animated a bunch of things that he either found or I don't know if he drew stuff himself. So they're not all her drawings. Mm-hmm. When she saw that in a press thing, she's like, oh, that's wrong. I'm like, don't worry about it. Nobody's
Yeah.
She's never, you know, but she did. She contributed to the single, the art that's on the single and all the, and a lot of the drawings that are in the video. And it just came out way cooler than I could have ever imagined. Darren did such a fantastic job on that. He took a little slice of the vision that I had and just blew it up to where I wouldn't even be able to go, way beyond what I could have thought of. Just love it.
Yeah, it's so cool. It's and the typeface, I mean, all of it is really cool and all comes together in a really neat package. And we'll reshare the video on our Facebook channel too, so people can see it, because it's just very vibey, and I think it's worth listening to the song over and over again and checking it out. You are as though that's not enough. You are in what can only be called an all-star band, the Greenleaf Rustlers. And by the way, I mean, really, Chris is involved in a band called Greenleaf Rustlers. That's quite shocking. Quite shocking.
Yeah, totally shocking.
I'd be shocked if he wasn't in a band called Greenleaf Rustlers. So it's kind of one of these all-star bands with Molo, John Molo and Pete Sears and Barry Sless, who have their own, you know, bunch of bands, Moon Alice and the band.
David Nelson Band.
Yeah, and the band with Katie Skeen, right? That's not California Kind.
California Kind.
And then Chris has, you know, the Brotherhood and all of the different things that he does. But this is, you know, an all-star band. How did you come to the Greenleaf Rustlers, and how enjoyable is that project for you?
Well, that came about when Chris contacted me. It was maybe 2017. And he was doing some Hootenannies at Terrapin Crossroads over the summer. Mm-hmm. And I think he did three that he fronted and put the bands together. And one was with the Moon Alice band, you know, those guys. The one that I was in was with Jay Lane, Dave Schools, Adam McDougall, myself, and Chris.
Wow.
And we did a bunch. It was freaking incredible. And I think there's a band name for that too. I'd have to ask Chris.
Well, we'll just call it freaking incredible. I mean, that's the
yeah. And we did, you know, and Peebles Can't Stand the Rain, and we did some Dr. John. So it was this really good, some Traffic. It was this cool soul, funky rock thing. We even did a Black Crow song in there. It was cool. And then we had a blast. And that was sort of, we hadn't communicated in a long time. I just got a text from Ramley, and then I was like, let's do it again, blah, blah, blah. And at the end of the year, he texted, he said, you want to do a band with me and Barry? And we're going to play all, like, you know, all our old favorite country stuff, all the Flying Burrito Brothers and Waylon and a Hag and Gene Clark and Doug Somm. Absolutely.
Right.
So I thought it was just going to be, you know, we'll go do a night somewhere. And then I got a message, and there's six shows. This was at the beginning of 2018. It was like, great. And I knew, I'd known Barry. Barry played on one of my shows for Songs from a Golden Dream, and I've met Pete before, and John Molo.
Yeah.
But we got together, and we didn't even rehearse. I guess Barry and Chris and I were up at Barry's house in Fairfax, and we definitely ran over some songs. But as soon as we started firing, and we did that 6-day run right out of the gate, we're like, oh man, everybody was excited and wanted to. That's how we wanted to spend our time when we weren't with our main projects.
Right.
And so fortunately it continued to be, you know, it's been a year now, and there's been a good amount of shows, and I love it. It's a blast. It's playing with those guys. There's times where I just stop playing and just listen and be like, oh yeah, right. I'm in the band. I'm not.
That's right.
And so that's great. We went to Jamaica at the beginning of the year, and that was hilarious. We Donovan somehow ended up sitting in with us, and wow. And you know, we played with it was the Jam in the Sand. Dark Star Orchestra was the
right.
It was their like Jamaican festival. I guess there's about 5 or 6 of these Jamaican resort festivals. That Little Feet does one. I think Warren Haynes does one.
Yep.
Maybe String Cheese does one. Yeah. And so we got invited to do one of those, and we're starting this tour. We're actually rehearsing tonight and starting a run for about a 2-week run. So very excited. Going to be a lot of playing, and a lot of fun.
And you share vocal duties with Chris, right? Is it just, how does that all work? Is it everybody sort of takes turns singing some of these songs, or is it mostly Chris, or how does that work?
It's mostly Chris. I'll probably do 2 sets a night, and I usually do about 2 songs per set, so about 4 a night.
Right.
I think there was one night we were playing, and Chris makes the set list, and he had put about 5 or 6 songs of mine on there. At the end of the show, and everybody's like, "Oh, that was really fun." He's like, "Hey, man, you're creeping in on you got 6 songs on the set. What's going on?" I'm like, "You made the set list." Right. He's like, "Oh yeah,
yeah."
He's just giving me shit, but yeah, it's fun. I certainly wouldn't have expected to be singing in a band when Chris Robinson's singing, but it's awesome. And we do dual stuff. We do harmonies and
right.
And Pete Sears got a great voice too, and he's capable of singing harmonies, and he'd easily be capable of singing lead on something too if it comes around to that. He's just fantastic all across the board. His playing and his musicality, his voice, his groove. Wow. Yeah.
It's cool because it's not just all-stars, but it's, you know, intergenerational all-stars. I mean, these are people that you probably grew up listening to, you know. And it's pretty cool that it's just a cool scene that you all can get together and play music that you love. I mean, that's all. That should be what it's all about, right? It's just great.
It's really neat. It's really cool, you know, for someone who's as legendary as Pete, and getting to play with him and getting to just not only play with him, but talk to him and connect with him as a human being and a friend. And of course, hearing the stories is always fun, but right. he's not one to, you know, some people you meet, they're so eager to show off all their stories. And Pete, you sit down with a cup of tea or some coffee, and then a story or two will come out, and it'll just one or two, and that's enough to blow your mind for that day. And then you just walk away, and then you get another one the next day. And the other cool thing about with Chris, we met Chris back in the early 90s with the Mother Hips. He was the reason we got signed to American Recordings, really. You know, he showed us to the label, and guess what music we were talking about back then? He and Tim and I were sitting around in Mark Ford with acoustic guitars, and we're playing Graham Parsons songs and Gene Clark songs. So I was admiring that circle of like, here we are, you know, 20 years later, and we're playing these songs together still, you know, but in a different way, you know, really, really going for it. So I appreciate that. appreciate that those commonalities that connect us.
It's so great. So psyched to hear the new music when it's ready. If San Felipe is any indication, I know it will be an incredible record. And certainly your past work is equally good. So thank you for letting us know about San Felipe. And thank you for continuing to make the music with the Hips and on your own and within the various incarnations that you do. And thanks for taking the time to chat with us today. It's been really great.
Oh yeah, thanks for having me on the podcast.
Is it just me, or did it seem like that was just two dudes talking music and having a great time? Greg is so very talented, and spending that much time with us was quite an honor. I'd encourage you to follow him on Facebook, where he posts lots of cool stuff, including his own work and tour dates, or of course you can visit greglocano.com. Before we leave you, since Greenleaf Rustler Tour starts tonight, why don't we go back to the Sweetwater Music Hall, June 13th, 2018, for this Town Van Zandt classic, Standin', covered by the Greenleaf Rustlers, featuring both Greg Locano and Chris Robinson sharing vocals.
Thank you.
You've been listening to The Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the music we love. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram and Twitter. The Sound Podcast is part of the Osiris Network. For more, visit OsirisPod.com. Thanks for listening. Osiris.